Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Social Nerds. I'm your host, Eduardo Gonzalez. And in this podcast, we talk about video games, pop culture, with collectibles, and anything else that we're geeky about. And for this episode, it's a special theme park episode and a first one as well, and one that's not about video games or Resident Evil. And it is my honor to bring a good friend of mine who is probably, I want to say, who campuses all those social nerds abilities. Ladies and gentlemen, please meet Lorenzo Enzo Torres.
Hey everyone, I'm glad to be here. Eduardo is correct. I am a nerd. I like to be more of a closeted nerd. I'm interested in a lot of things, but I don't always flaunt it and taunt it and all that. But yeah, I'm excited to be here and talk about the theme park experience that I recently did, which I believe would be the Disneyland and California Adventure / Avengers Campus. So I'm really excited to dive right in and all that.
It perfectly describes that he is a closet nerd. You don't know about it, but then, you know, all of a sudden he surprises us on social media with all these crate findings and things he does. But yeah, Enzo was probably one of the first people, yeah, to experience the new Avengers Campus at Disney California Adventures, which is located in Anaheim, California. And yeah, I believed it opened, what was it, that Thursday? It was like June 3rd, June 4th. And
yeah, so officially it opened June, that Friday, which I believe is 4th or 5th. And then we went that Saturday, the next day. So it's interesting because when you try to get in, it's really packed. I think it's hours long wait, but there's a secret way to get in, which we can dive right in later and all that. But we were able to get in without having to wait, if that makes sense. So,
yeah. So this Avengers Campus, tell us, it's a new theme park that, oh, it's not a new theme park, excuse me. It's a new section of California Adventure that's been in construction, oh God, I don't know how many years. I think even before the last time I went to Disneyland California Adventure, this was like November 2019. So it had to be like before that, and it was planned out. It was basically, was it the area that used to be Bugs Land? And was it, we got hints of it when they revamped, was it the Tower of Terror, and they converted into Guardians of the Galaxy. And at the time where Guardians of the Galaxy is, well, still is, it was Hollywood Land. And it kind of just, you know, didn't fit in because obviously it's a Marvel theme. And they thought that that idea, since they did it there, California Adventure might go into over in Orlando with their Hollywood Land as well. But, you know, those rumors were debunked, so they'll keep Tower of Terror there. And now went forward and revealed that they have this new Avengers Campus. So tell us about it. What is it? You know, what is there to do? So tell us, what is all this?
Yeah, so it's actually an entire section within California Adventure. Eduardo's correct. It was, it was replaced by, it replaced Bugs Life. And right now, it's kind of similar to Star Wars Galaxy Edge, but for California Adventure. And the thing is, when you enter, it's one of those attractions where there's not that many rides, to be honest with you. There's actually only one right now. Two. I forgot to include Guardians of the Galaxy, but one new ride. So there's only two rides in there. The first one is the one that's been there for years now, the formerly known as Tower of Terror, which is now Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't even remember the name. It's like Escape or something like that. Or
yeah, it's like Escape from something.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I actually think it is scarier than Tower of Terror, because with Tower of Terror, you only dip maybe three times. With Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like 5 to 6. They amp it up. So it's not scary in a horror sense. It's scary in a thrilling sense, if that makes sense. And then after that, there is the Spider-Man Web Slingers ride, which is really cool. And that's how we were able to get into the park without waiting physically in line, because I think the entire world knew that once Adventure Campus would be open, everybody would want to go there. So Disney actually set up an actual physical queue that you had to wait in line for. And I can tell you there were hundreds of people trying to get into that section of the park. Luckily for me, I was able to find this loophole, and the way that you do that is if you get a reservation via the Disneyland app to get into Spider-Man Web Slingers. And so there are two chances to get into it, which is at 7 a.m. and 12 p.m. The 7 a.m. chance is if you choose California Adventure as the first park you're entering, and the 12 p.m. chance is I forget which one. I don't want to mix anyone up, but you have two chances. You have to choose one of those. I was able to get the I believe the 12 p.m. one. Yeah. So we tried at 7 a.m. and literally the reservation sold out in less than a minute. And I was like, oh my God, this is serious. And but at 12, the 12 p.m. one, I think I logged on at around 11:55. And then I refreshed exactly at 12 and I was able to get in. But I will say that it will be sold out in like less than a minute. So what you have to do is you make sure whoever is going with you to Disneyland, I had actually like three other people go with me to Disneyland. You have to make sure all four of your names are loaded into the app already. That way, when you reserve, it's like a quick push versus like trying to, you know, maneuver through. Cause I think that's an amateur mistake. And once you get the reservation, then it will give you a time frame of when you need to return. And the crazy part was the time frame that we had to wait was around 4 hours. So even though we didn't physically wait in line, we still had to like, you know, wait until our time was called. And, you know, we just at that time was just enjoying the rest of California Adventure.
Yeah, it's very interesting you bring up about, well, it's not interesting. It's like you have to do the reservation system because they're doing that same with the Star Wars Rise of Resistance over at Disneyland. And it makes me wonder because I have a friend that just went to Disneyland literally just the other day. And she tried to do the Rise of Resistance. I wonder, she couldn't get the 7 a.m. either. Were you at the park already around 7 a.m.?
We got into Disneyland at around, we got there around 8:50 or so.
8:50.
And then we didn't get, there's a line to park. And we parked around, I want to say 9:10. And then after that, the tram section is gone. So you have to walk from the tram section to the park. That's an extra like literally 10 to 15 minute walk, which was... Oh. You know, not a big deal in the beginning, but it's a big deal when you're leaving the park because when you're leaving the park, you're already exhausted, right? And imagine on top of trying to get out of there, you have to do one more, like, I don't know. I think it's a mile walk, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's like when you're getting there, it's like preparing you for like what's coming up for the day. You know, you'll be walking and all that. At least you get your like extra 10, 15 minute, or actually if you do the round trip, 30 minute cardio. But yeah, with my friend, yeah, it's like she tried to do the 7 a.m. Rise of Resistance, but then she said second, she was able to get the new one. And it makes me wonder if like the 7 a.m. is like reserved for the people who stay at like Disneyland, you know, hotel or something, or, you know, they open those parking lots like at 6 a.m. So just people who probably get there early just to like where we get to choose. And definitely, you know, that new Web Slingers ride just definitely changes the strategy. You think that, you know, now that people are going to go to California Adventure first before going to Disneyland, which usually, you know, a lot of people go to Disneyland first, then California Adventure. So it definitely has like thought on my strategy when I try to go possibly Disneyland sometime later this year or next year. But so tell us about this like new Web Slinger ride. I know it's the new one, it's the popular one that I was talking about. It's like, is it like a 3D, 4D? I kind of think it's like kind of almost so like Toy Story Mania.
Similar to Toy Story Mania, and it's like, it is 3D, so you have to wear glasses. And what you're doing is you're going through different sections of this like Spider-Man Academy type of thing, where I think it's a bunch of kids who made like the spider bots and a bunch of different products. And then I think there's the theme of the ride is you're trying to destroy the hacked like spiders and all that. So the way you do that is with your hand, you pretend to shoot web slingers, and then it'll be able to capture your movement, and then it'll destroy the robotic spiders that are 3D and all that. However, part of the experience that Disney's trying to do now is to make it more interactive and all that. So what you can do is you can buy these toys called web shooters, and then also different themed web shooters that you can incorporate to the ride, which makes the ride even more fun. It is quite expensive. I think that I dropped around $40 extra to add on top of the game, but what is Pepper Potts' character's name? When she's like the Iron Woman or whatever. Yeah, so that's like, there's a purple one, and then there's Spider-Gwen, and then there's a Spider-Man one. You could use any of those and it will actually be a different experience. Like for the Iron Man one, it feels like you're Iron Man. For the Spider-Man one, it feels like you're shooting out a web slinger. And on top of using that for the ride, like outside of the ride, you could play with it in real life. You could like train and play with it as a, like a cosplay accessory. And there's even like a portion where you can float things on it too. So it is a pretty cool toy to have. On the label it says like 8+, but let's be honest, people who are 20 years and older are definitely going to be purchasing this product as well.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's interesting you bring all the stuff about the experience. Disney now, it's all about the experience, like putting you as the ride character in it. And yeah, they definitely knew. I'm not sure because the coronavirus pandemic, because obviously, these rides also, they always provide you like the 3D glasses or like the guns in like whatever the pods you're in and all those things. It seemed like this one, they knew how to make money off of you. You know what I mean? You buy these like, what's someone call it? These web sneaker things that adds the experience to the ride. And on top of that, they have like four or five, six different ones. And who knows what else they might add. It definitely, pumps money into it. And it makes me, want to do it because obviously you want the experience for the ride and everything. And on top of that, like I said, it also has multi-use outside of the ride. So definitely is like kind of like, worth the purchase if you're into that kind of stuff or you're collectors like me, or you as well. And stuff like that. So tell us, so what are you, when you're on the ride, where are you like, you're kind of like this giant, I don't know how you describe it. It's like the people mover type of pod thing or.
Yeah, it's just I don't even know if they have a name for it, but it is a pod where you can fit. I think you could fit like four people, but I think most people had only like two or three in the pod. In regards to like how it works is so again, if you don't have the accessory, you're just pretending to be Spider-Man, and yeah, that's fun, but with the accessory, it feels like you're inside the game. So it kind of feels like real life laser tag, but 3D. So with this accessory, you have this like Spider-Man one, and then you could include, and then they have different attachments that are sold separately, of course, Disney. The one that's sold separately, there's an Iron Man one, there's the, and it's a moving pod. So you would each room, like there's different rooms, and then that the pod moves, you don't move, like the pod moves for you. And then there's like three different times you could destroy like these spider web, these robotic spiders. Oh, and fun fact, these robotic spiders that are 3D in the ride, if you want to purchase them physically, you can do so. I will say it's much more expensive than the accessory. It's like $80, and I can see that it looks fun, but once you play with it for like a couple minutes, it may not be like worth it anymore. I don't know, because I don't think it does much except for like sit and move around there, kind of like a Furby, but a little bit more interactive.
Definitely for the collectors as well. So,
Right.
still with the ride, how long is about the ride?
Not that long. I mean, maybe 10 minutes or less. Or not, just not, it's not that long, I will say that. Maybe as long as Toy Story Mania.
Okay. Then were you able to, I'm assuming they show some like Marvel like characters from the movie. Do we see like Peter Parker? Then
You will
obviously
see
like
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah,
He's one of my
yeah.
favorites.
But I don't think there's anyone else there, at least in that ride. And then obviously in Guardians of the Galaxy, you'll see all, Chris Pratt, Dave Bautista,
And all that stuff.
yeah, all of them.
Then I'm not sure. Was the ride queue when you're waiting for the ride like very interactive, stuff like that, where things to do?
No, it wasn't interactive in terms of the ride queue. I will say that is their attention to detail is bar none. Like I would say there is no other theme park that really cares about these small details and all that. I will say that in that ride, there's always like attractions. When I say attractions, like there's like Spider-Man that comes out, I think once every hour or so. I didn't get to catch it, but there's Spider-Man like doing poses, like a real person wearing the Spider-Man outfit. But there's also like an attraction where a robotic Spider-Man flies up and swings, and it looks like a real life Spider-Man.
Oh, he
But
is robotic.
that's not real. It's like the real life Spider-Man pretends to crawl down, hides, and then they shoot up a robotic one. And when the robotic one lands, then they replace it with the real one. It's cool. Like from afar, it looks real, right? But if you're up close, you're like, okay, they totally just, yeah, because that stunt is nearly impossible. It's like one of those things you just see in the movie, and like you would need harnesses and all these things, but the robotic Spider-Man, it's pretty cool. I've seen YouTube videos of it, but I didn't get a chance to see it. I will say in terms of characters walking around, because there's the Avengers HQ that they have there, that's where all the different characters come out of, and I think I saw Loki, Ant-Man, and Black Panther. But then they'll have every single Marvel Avenger superhero and villain come out, kind of like how Disneyland has their Disney characters come out whenever they want.
Okay, so let's move on to that. So Avengers HQ is just a building that houses all these characters that come up, and you say
Yeah, and
they.
it's like an attraction where everyone wants to take a picture, right? So kind of like how there's a Disney castle. You don't do much, but that's where like I think they house like some stuff there too.
Yeah, I say, okay, besides those character mentions, I know there's Doctor Strange who comes out. I think I had another friend who went, I think the day after you, and he was posting like on his social media. I think he was like stalking like Doctor Strange or somebody. Then I think he saw Black Panther as well. So they definitely do the character experience. And they also have, was it like this food area? It's like Plies. It's based off like the Ant-Man's, right?
Yeah. So they have, in terms of food, there's the Pym's Kitchen Lab. I don't know if people are familiar with Ant-Man, but the original Ant-Man was Hank Pym, I think. Mm-hmm. And then in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he's already an old person. And it's replaced by Paul Rudd's character, which I forgot his name. And so Pym's Test Kitchen has a bunch of food. I didn't get a chance to really look at it and go inside because my friends ended up getting the food and products for us. But I will say that they have alcoholic boba there, which is pretty cool. Yeah. But it's not actually boba. It's like the popping boba. It's not like boba. You know, they're not a boba connoisseur place, right? Yeah. And then they also have, I think they have an attraction inside the thing where there's like a pretzel and it looks like it becomes enlarged or something.
Oh, wow.
Which is fun when you're waiting in line. And then they also have shawarma. Like, I don't know if people get the inside joke, but the end of Marvel, First Avengers, I think Iron Man and Captain America, they had an interaction talking about like, oh, I'm hungry, let's get a shawarma. And then all of them end up in the Middle Eastern place eating shawarma.
Yeah.
And they actually have a shawarma stand in California Adventure, like in Avengers Campus. And it's cool. You can fall in line and it looks, and it's legit shawarma. I didn't get to try it, but I've seen reviews on it and then people were saying it's pretty good for what it is.
No, yeah, I remember the post-credits scene. Yeah, they do that and they're all eating, you know, in New York City. So No, yeah, it's great. So now they also have, also moving on, we have the merchandise. I forgot what the store is called, but they have all these goodies. Like you said, they have the web slinger, the spider bots thing that I'm thinking of getting, but it seems like it's for collectors. So we'll see. And what else do they have?
So there's two stores that I can recall. So there's one store just called the Web Slingers, which is really a Spider-Man themed store where you're supposed to go in there and prep for your ride. But obviously, you know what Disney's trying to do, right? You're supposed to prep there and all that and get your stuff. But all those things in that store, you can get in this other store that has more things. And this other store is called the Premier Backlot. And what it is generally it has like these rare things within Disney that you can get or things that come out before it's announced to the public. However, they transformed the Premier Backlot into an Avengers store. And my goodness, I think I dropped like $200 worth of stuff. Oh, wow. Yeah, I bought an Avengers sweater, a jacket, a group plush for my niece, the web slinger accessories there. So it's worth it. But if anyone's familiar with Frankincense, which Eduardo and I have gone to multiple times, it has that same vibe and feeling inside of that, but just Avengers theme. So I recommend checking it out. I don't know if you want to be spending this money and trying to get, trying to just add more to the Disney cash flow, but it is worth checking out and experiencing.
Yeah, Frankincense, if you guys don't know what it is, it's kind of like a like an indoor swap meet, right? That's only been like 2 days a week in, was it like east of Los Angeles?
Saturdays or Sundays, Jordan and I have gone maybe 3 or 4 times. But when I say it's similar, it isn't a swap meet and there aren't multiple vendors. I'm saying the inside just feels like a huge convention.
Yeah.
Different multiple Marvel products put everywhere and the way it's spread out and the way it's set up feels like that. Frankincense is also great. Cheap plug if you end up trying to go there. If you're looking for anything pop culture and all that super rare things, they'll probably have it.
Yeah, it's definitely a collector's paradise. I found like a couple of things that, you know, I still have, like an Iron Man, we call like a Funko Pop, that it's on my desk back at work that I still haven't seen over like a year because we haven't been back, you know, to the pandemic, and got like a Kingdom Hearts key. So yeah, definitely. It seems like the Marvel or the Avengers Campus is definitely, if you're looking for a collector's paradise, what's to call it, it definitely is. And it comes to show you that Disney does know its fans. If you think about it, you know, the Marvel, you know, even superhero type of fans love to collect things. Yeah. If you think about it, you know what I mean? Whether it be, you know, clothing, or it'd be little knickknacks, we call them, or, you know, little devices, even though we necessarily are not children play, but we just like having their like, let me see, like, Enzo, you have an Infinity Gauntlet. I have one too. And I think you might get the new one that's like Iron Man based. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, definitely like a collector's type of paradise. Tying into that.
And talking about collector's paradise. So there are three notable products in this premier backlot that I want to revert to. So the first one is they're selling this huge real life Iron Man stand. I think it's like $10,000.
Whoa.
Or $8,000. And I remember someone going up to the thing and be like, should I get it? I can get it right now. I can afford it. And I was like, man, if you can afford that, you must be balling. And then second, another thing is reverting back to the web slingers. They actually have this web slinger accessory that's not meant for the ride, but like it's actually Peter Parker's like web slinger thing. It's just a cool collectible, so you can use that. And then the third one that I think is really notable that people would like is, I'm not sure if people are familiar with Marvel Legends. And with Marvel Legends, they have a toy line that has really accurate like action figures as well as real life accessories. For example, Eduardo has the Nano Gauntlet. I have the Infinity Gauntlet and Nano Gauntlet as well as different masks. Right, like I have Iron Man and Black Panther right now, and all that. I think this one is not available in stores. It's only available online. But they have this product in the premier backlot, which is Thor Stormbreaker, which is like the huge axe he uses in Infinity War and Endgame. It's like this long. I think it's 180 or 200. Okay. But it looked really legit. I almost bought it. But what hindered me from buying it is that if I did purchase it, I have to lug it around the entire time. And I'm like, I don't want to walk back to my parking spot because then I waste literally an hour trying to do that. So, you know, maybe in the future, if I have more time and not, because, you know, going into Disneyland this time and California Adventure, it was just one day. It was a time crunch. I don't live in Southern California right now. So I can't just be like, oh, I'll be back. You know, so next time when I do decide to come back and I have a more long day to stay, and I'm able to knock out more things, then I'll be able to do that.
No, yeah, definitely forget about that. I remember my trips to Disney World, how like there's things I want to buy, and it's just gotta log it around. It's only like 11 noon, you know, I'm gonna be here for another couple of hours. But I also learned sometimes that, you know, Disney or going to Disney World, it's just sometimes when you see something, get it, because it might not be there. Happened to me one time, I was going to Disney World, it was like this Jack Skeleton Katrina doll I wanted to buy, and it was this Jack Skeleton, Jack Sparrow, and like I was like, come back later, it was gone. But I don't know, something pricey like that, I feel you don't have to worry about it, you know, like it's not like someone's gonna shell out easily, like, or a bunch of people gonna shell like whatever $180-$200 and everything. So, but like I said, yeah, that definitely Avengers Campus is definitely a collector's paradise that I cannot wait to go check it out. Like, I'm interested in like the spider bots, even though you say you're kind of like, but it's like, for me, I like having it there for my little knickknacks. That definitely, you know, that backpack, you know, you could carry around with, but you said it was like for like little kids, right?
I mean, you can get that. It looked really kitty and small, but hey, if you can rock it, why not?
Well, you know me, I'm big, kind of like muscular, people have big arm, I look kind of like it just look funny on me, I don't know. But
yeah.
So yeah, if you guys want to take a look at all these like products and anything, I'll have it on my website, eduardomgonzalez.com. So if you guys want to check it out, you know what I mean, just see, you know, if you do your little, if you ever go to California Adventure, you want to buy or not sure, they'll be on there and everything else. So is there anything else around like Adventures Campus that, you know, it's like cool, you checked, you saw, that people should know about?
I will say that one thing I wish I had more time or energy is to check out the park at nighttime. It looks way nicer. Like all the different buildings and places where you can take pictures are lit up with these really cool lights and Avengers. Like there's an Avengers campus section where you can take a picture with it. It looks like you're visiting college, you know? And then nice. You could take a picture at Avengers HQ, which looks like you're outside of the superheroes HQ. Web Slingers looks nicer. So I do recommend checking it out at night if possible, if you have enough energy and all that. So next time when I go, I'm gonna check it out at night.
Well, it seems like Disney knew how to do it and set it up everything for like the Instagram and TikToks or whatever you want to do it.
They knew.
And how was the crowds? Was it like nice? Did you live it out well?
But when you get in, it doesn't feel crowded, actually. It's the wait, like the physical queue looks like it's crowded. But I think as time progresses and all that, you're not gonna have to wait anymore. Cause I think at first Star Wars Galaxy Edge, you had to wait and all that. But after a couple months, and the first time I went, never had to wait. I just walked in. So I think right now they're just trying to make sure it doesn't get over flooded, especially with, you know, the pandemic and all that. People are freaking out, which is totally understandable. Mm-hmm. But I think once everything is lifted, which seems like started yesterday and all that, I think they'll be able to just allow people to just be around and all that.
So just moving on really quick to like just general question of Disneyland. So how was Disneyland? Was everything, you know, back to normal? You know, it's been over a year since it's been closed. So
I liked the experience because it didn't feel as packed. It felt like one of those early, before Disneyland was packed every day. I think around the time when Edward and I were in college, you can go mm-hmm. on a weekday and it didn't feel like anyone was there, right? Mm-hmm. During the day, like you'd skip class or something. I don't encourage that, but it happens, right? So you can like skip class, and then when you get to Disneyland, like morning and afternoon, it's not packed. You can literally get through all the rides. So that's what it felt like. However, if you try getting into any of the popular rides, the wait times are actually longer, which is like really confusing, right? But the reason why it's longer is, one, due to COVID protocols, they'll only allow riders to go to every other like ride, right? For example, if pod number one is filled, then pod number two will be empty, then pod number three will be filled. So that caused a delay, right? And then everybody wants to, and another thing is they'll close off the line if it feels like there's too many people, right? So even though the parks, both Disneyland and California, didn't feel packed, if you try riding something, it does feel longer. So I would say manage your expectations and try to knock out the rides that you want to knock out as soon as you can.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good point. I remember going to Universal, was it back in April? Like, yeah, the lines were long, but it's just like every other. And I remember for the Jurassic World ride, I waited like, God, like 2 hours. The thing was just because like every other one, and it's just like the line had to be like spaced out and all that stuff. So definitely. Did you ride Space Mountain?
I did not get to ride.
Oh, because I was going to ask you if it's back to
normal. If you go early, like if you go early and there's before like there's a line for it and before they close it off, it's only going to be like a 40-minute wait, which is pretty good. So
yeah, because the past couple of times I've been, it's the Star Wars. Like, I love Star Wars, but I'm like, okay, I'm over it. You know what I mean? I'm ready to back to like normal Space Mountain. Like, I want to go back mm-hmm. just to ride that. Even though I still think that the Space Mountain at Disney World is better. So
yeah,
I saw that Matterhorn was closed because apparently the tracks are wearing out or something. It's going to take a while because how it was built back then and indoors is going to be. So was there anything else you noticed, like new they did change, just clean it up or?
No, I would say everything looks the same in Disneyland, at least. The only new thing is Galaxy's Edge, which looks like been there for 2 years now. So I think their main focus, honestly, has been on Avengers Campus, which is on the other park, California Adventure.
So, yeah. And is there anything else you want to talk about Disneyland or California Adventure that we missed?
No, I would just say I think it's too late now, but I was going to say try to get in there before people who are not from California are allowed to go. I think that already passed.
It was Tuesday. Ago. They left
it. Yeah, already passed. It's too late. My advice would be just try to get there as soon as you can. And then also, I don't know what it's going to be like with more people, but if you can try and use the Spider-Man Web Slinger as a reservation, do that. And also any of the rides that you want to knock off early, do it first. You got to be strategic or else you probably won't end up riding that many rides.
Well, good thing you brought it up about like the people. I think that it won't be as crowded because you know how they don't have annual pass anymore and they got rid of it.
Yeah.
So it might be like not as crowded, you know, because you don't have those annual pass holders anymore going in, you know what I mean? So, but definitely I think it's going to be crazy.
We'll see how that works out the next couple of months, but mm-hmm. I don't think the pass, I really think people will still pay.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's crazy.
Like for both parks, it's $200 now. I paid $205 to do one day for 9 hours. And I'm like, it was worth it, but I'm like, I can't do this frequently now. You know?
Didn't we pay like close to $200 that time we went for my birthday? I think the last time I went, this was like November 2019 before the pandemic.
It was like $190. Now it's $205. And I remember, you know, when in 2009, 2011, when I was in college, an annual pass was $120. So I'm just like, man, they're really, yeah, what the heck?
Like, I remember one day, or just going to Disneyland before California Adventure was only like $50. And I think, yeah, yeah, it's just crazy. It's crazy, man.
But I will say it is worth it to go. But I don't recommend going more than like once a year. Maybe twice a year, you know, especially without a pass. I think it is worth it to go. Just make sure you don't do it unless you have infinite amount of money that you can just, doesn't really matter, right? But I recommend checking it out. Both experiences, Disney always delivers when it comes to emotions and feeling like, you know, happy and all that stuff. So if that's something you want to do and you really like Disney as well as Star Wars and Marvel, yeah, then you got to check out both parks.
There you go, you guys. Your Disney spokesperson right here. There you go, Disney. You better give them some free passes.
I work for them now, though. Just kidding.
Yeah, I definitely try to go like once a year. I'm going to probably try to go this fall. If not, then, you know, we all know I'm going to Disney World this December. So the only thing missing is not Adventures Campus. But, you know, I'm excited. And yeah, so, well, I guess that wraps up today's episode of Social Nerds. Again, if you want to join the conversation, we're on social media, pretty active. My Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok is at EDM Gonzalez with a Z at the end. The link will be obviously below. And also there's my website. You can check it out to see, you know, up Avengers Campus, stuff like that. It's EduardoMGonzalez.com. I also have an Instagram collector's account that I'd started. If you guys want to see more besides my personal stuff, just my, you know, collector's type of geeky stuff, it's at Geeky EDM Gonzalez. It's only on Instagram. And yours, Enzo?
So for me, I have three platforms you can follow me on. So I have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. For all three of them, it's Enzo Torres. However, this is how you spell it. So it's ENZ0TORR3S. Again, ENZ0TORR3S. You can follow me. I don't have like separate accounts for things. I will say that if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see a collection of pictures that range from geeky things to food adventures to my personal life. So if you want to see how crazy my mind is, go check that out. Also, if you check out my Twitter, I just talk about random things. A lot of it is just speaking my mind, but I haven't been as active the last couple of months. But prior to that, in 2020, 2019, I was pretty active. So yeah, if you want to follow me, check out things, feel free to message me as well. I'm happy to answer any questions when it comes to anything nerd-like, and happy to make new friends.
Definitely. Enzo's a great follow, you guys, or listeners, if you want to know some like great collectibles or even great like food stuff like that. He's usually ahead of the game. He does like the research. So yeah, and we also have a Facebook group called Social Nerds, which I hope that we become more active in, because, you know, again, we share ideas and everything to it as well. Like Enzo wants, you know, I mean, some new collectible or crazy thing, you know, that pertains to the group, he'll share it, you know, let everybody know before, you know, the whole public does. So that one's Social Nerds. And again, it's called Social Nerds. It's a Facebook group that we talk about, you know, basically what this podcast is about. And again, I'll provide the link to, along with Enzo's social medias, with the description below. So again, Enzo, thank you so much for joining.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate it. It was fun.
And again, this is Eduardo Gonzalez, your host. And yeah, talk to you all in the social media universe.